This episode of the Mickey Mouse Podcast is brought to you by MEI and Mouse Fan Travel, who provide you with premium service and expert advice to help you get the most out of your vacation time and dollar. Give them a try. Go visit them at MEI-travel.com or mousefantravel.com. And brought to you by All Star Vacation Homes, who offers you the highest quality in both vacation homes or condos. Hospitality has a new home, and its name is All Star Vacations. So visit them at allstarvacationhomes.com.
Hi, this is Mark Lorenzo, and I listen to Mickey Miles Podcast.
This is the Mickey Miles Podcast. From 5K fun runs to full marathons, this is the podcast that helps you learn everything you need to know about running Disney races. The Mickey Miles Podcast is not affiliated with, authorized, or endorsed by, or in any way officially connected with Run Disney, the Walt Disney Company, Disney Enterprises, Inc., or any of their affiliates. Now, here are your hosts for the Mickey Miles Podcast, Michelle Scribner-McLean and Mike Scopa.
Welcome to episode 159 of the Mickey Miles Podcast. My name is Mike Scopa from WW Today, and with me on the show is Michelle Scribner-McLean. Hiya, Michelle.
How many W's was that?
47.
Okay. I don't think there was a D, though. I'm doing well. How are you?
Doing okay. I guess that was my Matt Hotchberg impression.
Yeah, it was a fast introduction. So, Mike, I am wrapping up my Boston Marathon training, and yesterday, guess what?
I give up.
I got to run outside. Yay! So it was beautiful, 18-plus miles running outside, and I was listening to the song Happy, and I was sort of skipping around. It was really nice to be outside. But we have a shout-out today, and that is to one of our listeners, Carrie Bretzius. And I asked people on Saturday if they are running, and he says, here's the reason I missed my training. I think it was worth skipping. He's got a picture of his daughter. And her name's Claire Elizabeth. She was just born, and it says she's going to be a future Mickey Miler. So congratulations, Carrie. That's great news.
Congratulations, Carrie. So as always, we're always trying to figure out what is the topic that our listeners want to hear us discuss. And there's one that constantly keeps on coming up, and I'm sure that all of you out there who have been running Disney races for a while have thought about this, and it's the ever-increasing cost of a Run Disney event. And so Michelle and I thought, and it didn't take more than maybe 2 nanoseconds to figure out who would be the best people to have on the show to talk about this. So we thought, let's grab them. So we grabbed them, and they were more than eager to come on, and we're so excited to have on the show. So two names who you're all familiar with. Our first guest is Kimberly Torres-Markey. Hello, Kimberly. How are you, sweetie?
Hi. How are you guys?
And I want to point out, too, that Kim was featured on this week's Run Disney blog and a video of her doing the Dopey and getting ready for the Dopey and some other races, I think. It was great. It was fantastic, Kim. So you're pretty awesome.
Thank you. Yep, I was featured. Thank you. Yeah, I was featured on the Why I Run Disney page and blog. So I was very honored to do that and just, you know, share my story.
I enjoyed seeing what your husband looked like because I've never seen him before. The man behind the woman. Like, oh, okay, there he is.
He does exist.
You're such a force yourself.
Speaking of a force, our other guest has I don't think that there is a weekend that goes by where our next guest is not running somewhere. He's a very dear friend of ours, the epitome of what a Southern gentleman should be, our friend Eddie McCoy. Hi, Eddie. Welcome aboard.
Hey, Mike and Michelle. Thanks for having me back.
And I also wanted to add something about Eddie, too. In addition to being Fast Eddie and doing lots and lots of different races, he probably is one of the most supportive fellow runners that in our running community. He is always there as a cheerleader for everybody. So he's a special guy.
And I found out recently that Eddie and I have a commonality. We both don't like coffee. So, right, Eddie?
Exactly.
Exactly. Okay, so let me frame this show around so everyone will know what points we're going to be talking about. Again, we're talking about the ever-increasing cost of Run Disney events, and we've broken it down into a number of discussion points that we will address. So I'm just going to go through these points right now really quickly, and then we'll go right into it. So we're going to talk about price. We're going to talk about the history of prices over the last, I'd say 9 to 10 years. Where have the prices gone? We're going to talk about the phenomenon of how quickly these races sell out. We're going to talk about what impact the new races have had on this phenomenon. We're going to talk on a very, very, very important point is what the impact of these price increases will have on individuals, families, groups, vacations. We're going to talk very, very deeply on that. We're also going to talk about what we feel is the sustainability of these price hikes and if there are breakpoints for each of the distances. Finally, we're going to talk about how we as individuals, as part of a family, as part of a group or whatever, how we intend to deal with these price increases moving on. And I'm sure that a lot of you out there, as you're listening, will be thinking along and either nodding your head yes or maybe shaking your head no as we talk about these things. And we will definitely look forward to hearing from you on our Facebook page after this show. So,
you gotta settle in because this is going to be a glorious 3-hour podcast with all those topics.
So let's talk about the price of the present Disney events that are have been announced, and I guess the most recently announced race was the Avengers Half Marathon Weekend, Superheroes Half Marathon Weekend out in California, and there are two races. One is a 5K, and the other one is a half marathon. And guys, correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe the 5K was 70 and the half marathon was 195. And we didn't have to worry about those prices going up as you crossed over a date because they sold out in, I guess everything was sold out in 2 hours.
And the 5K went first.
Yes, was really unusual.
Less than an hour.
Mm-hmm. I think it was 27 minutes for the 5K to sell out.
That's a good place to start. Kim, why do you think that the 5K sold out faster than the half marathon? Because I know that Michelle and I, when we registered, I went right to the half marathon. I didn't care about the 5K. I cared about the half marathon. But why do you think the 5K and at $70 sold out so quickly?
Right. So I'm just like you. I went right for the half marathon as well. And being an annual pass holder and a DVD, Disney Vacation Club member, I get the privilege or the, not privilege, but I guess the advantage of being able to register before general registration opens. So I was really surprised that the 5K sold out first. That was quite a shock to me. I would have to say because it really, I think, appealed to the tween set, maybe the teenager set. It's not a princessy race. I think that they're trying to get in a different demographic, and I think that's why the 5K sold out first.
Do you think that I'd be really curious to see when we do the 5K, I will be very curious to see if it in fact lives up to its name as a family 5K. I'll be curious to see how many families are in the corrals.
Yeah, I have to agree. I mean, at that price, I mean, we're not going to talk about, I was looking at what I paid for my entire family to come down for Walt Disney World weekend, and at $70 for a family of four, over $200. I mean, that's out of control for a 5K, even at Disneyland. That is extremely expensive.
So, Eddie, one of the things that you have said online, because you will agree with me, you are on Facebook on our Mickey Miles and Mickey Milers page often. You made a great point, which is, and I think a lot of us have chimed in and agreed with this, that the family 5K maybe is a misnomer now because of the price. Can you talk about that?
There's two things to why I think the family should be dropped from the 5K. First, you know, if you have a family and you're paying $70 a person to run the race. You know, a family of four, you know, that's that doesn't take long. $280. My math right?
Yeah. I have with the DVC discount $257.60.
Okay, if you have the discount, $257. Okay. That's an insane amount of money to spend for a family race. But here's the other point to my thing is when they changed the policy on the packet pickup, this is what the price kills it in one aspect and the policy kills it in another, because kids, all these races are going on for the most part, at least while my kids are in school. And in order for me to actually go get a packet and then be able to race, I would have to take, you know, I'd either have to travel separate without my family ahead of time to pick it up, or I'd have to take my kids out of school. And that's, you know, it's not fair either way. It's not fair to take the kids out of school. It's not fair for me to have my wife have to travel with the kids by herself.
And that being said, it would actually mean more money for you because you'd have to get the kids there and pay for another hotel room, another night of hotel room.
In the end, really, it's not another night of hotel, because if we're going to run the 5K, we're going to be there that night no matter what. Mm-hmm. It's the time of which, you know, getting there by the time the expo ends is the issue,
right,
wherever we go, you know, because I'm not going to spend any more money than what I was. It's just now actually I'll spend less because the new policy forced me. I was going to take the girls and my wife out to the Avengers weekend. Well, with the new policy, I'm not going to take them.
Right,
so
right.
They actually, you know, that actually costs money. And I was staying at the Grand Floridian, and since it's just me going out there, The Grand California. I've just canceled that reservation and moved off site. So.
Right. Right.
Yeah. Another thing, too, is and we're not talking about the 5Ks, but to your point, Eddie, about the family part of it, is you can't have a stroller at these races anymore. So.
No. And I want to say I've run it a couple of times, and I've seen the stroller, and especially the time I ran with my daughter, Emma. There are people that were literally abusing that policy to the point where it was very harmful to other people.
Mm.
People starting in the back with those strollers and using them as ramrods. I mean, I saw people flying through that 5K that had no business doing that. So
when you have that many people on a 5K, maybe it is a good policy. But getting back to the price, too, you get for that amount of money, you get to run, you know, a Disney race, which at the very most is going to probably take you an hour. You get a cotton T-shirt and a medal, you know,
you get a medallion.
A medallion, medallion. Right. I was going to say a rubber medal.
Yep.
Right. So, Mike, can you take us back a little bit? Because you've been running these races, I think, arguably longer than any of us here, anybody I know. And I know that you came up with some interesting, you save emails from when emails were invented. So tell us what you paid historically for some of these other races.
Oh,
again,
God.
We're talking about $70 5Ks. So what was it like back in the day?
It's really depressing. The very first 5K I signed up for was back in October of 2005, and it was $25. And
$25?
$25 for the 5K for the Walt Disney World Half Marathon in January. I believe I signed up for that, and it was $75 for the half marathon. And I don't know if there was runner's retreat or race retreat. I think it was 2006. It was also the first time that they offered Goofy. And I checked on my email on that, and I have a lot of email from Run Disney on that. And they had only 3,000 spots for the Goofy challenge that year, which was kind of interesting. But moving along, the other thing I wanted to mention is that when I did the Race for the Taste in 2006, I think, or was it 2005, it was a 10K. It was $35, and at the end of the race, they had given us wristbands, and at the end of the race, we could, and it was during, obviously it was during food and wine, and we were able to eat as much as we want. They gave us salmon, they gave us salad, they gave us some kind of a dessert, they gave us lemonade to drink or water, whatever. We could eat as much and drink as much as we want. And I just look at that and I compare what's going on today, and it's just amazing. And I was just wondering with everybody, I'll start off with Eddie on this one. Eddie, do you remember the first Run Disney race that you signed up for and how much it cost?
It was the 2011 Wine and Dine half marathon. And I want to say I got in. I was trying to find that information, but it seems like I paid between $130 and $150 when I signed up for it at that time. But I can't verify it. I couldn't find the confirmation on that.
Okay. Kim, how about you?
My first Disney event was the 2009 marathon, and I can't find the information either, but I kind of think it was $125.
Wow. Well, Michelle, what about you? Yours was 2009 half marathon, I
think. I
believe
it was 2009 half marathon. I want to say it was 110. So yeah. When you think about the Avengers, it's not quite 100% increase, but, you know, it's $85 more for that race. That's pretty amazing.
Well, and now you're looking at $200, right? The Avengers, I paid $197 with a discount. So, I mean, you're going close to $200, and a real, I'm not saying.
Are you talking about because of the processing fees?
Yes.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So, a price of the Chicago Marathon, a full marathon, is $185. The price of the New York City Marathon, a full marathon, is $240. So, you know, a regular marathon that is not like a major could be around $75. So, I mean, for a half marathon, it's extremely expensive.
And I know I'm doing, I signed up for the Heartbreak Hill half marathon that's put on by Runner's World. It's going to be in June. And I signed up at the Disney Expo. One of the reasons that I signed up was because it was $70. And I felt like I was at a bargain basement for races. I said, $70? I'm signing up. I was so excited because.
And I'm doing that as well. And I'm doing the hat trick, which is the 5K, the 10K, and the half marathon. And I don't remember what I paid for, but I thought it was a bargain.
Oh, that's good. I'm glad you're going to be there.
I was going to ask everybody, anyone have any thoughts as to why these prices keep going up at the rate that they're going up? I mean, I just did the math, and the half marathon registration fee has gone up $120 since my first one. Can anyone pinpoint, you know, what has prompted them to you know, up the rates so quickly over the past 6, 7, 8 years?
I can. Runningusa.org does a annual report of races and finishers, and it tallies this. Just to give you an indication, we're going back 2006, right? In 2006, there were 724,000 half marathon finishers that year. You go back to, they haven't updated with the 2013 stats yet, but 2012, there was 1.8 million.
Wow.
Look at the number of people.
Wow.
The number of people finishing and running races has over doubled in that amount of time. It really is a simple supply and demand. And unfortunately, that with so many more people now finishing and running races, they have the ability to charge the race that they're doing. And people are going to do it because they had a bigger pool to pull from. So,
but do you think it's a fad?
Do I think it's a fad? Everything seems to run in cycles, but I'm sitting here looking at these stats, and right now there is no decline in these finisher stats. So I don't, you know, I say at some point it's got to level out, I would think, but. To say it's a fad when it's been growing since 1990, I don't know.
So it's a really interesting thing. So I was just doing the math here about the Avengers versus the one that Kim and I are doing, the Heartbreak Hill. So for the Heartbreak Hill half marathon, it's about $4.70 a mile. For the Avengers race, it's about $15 a mile. So, you know, I don't know. Is it worth it? I guess we're probably not the right people to ask, but at what point do you think that it will sort of, I don't know, kind of stabilize, or maybe the numbers will go down, because what we're seeing right now is that they've added races. They've added multiple races. And I know, Mike, you and I were talking about this a few days ago. When I first signed up for my first half marathon, I thought, I think I'm going to do the half marathon next year. And I'm going to think about it and talk to some people. And I had several months to make the decision before it was an issue. But now you have to be committed. And so at what point does this sort of plateau? What do you think?
I don't know. It's a real amazing phenomenon, because I can remember the first couple of years I started doing this, and I would wait until August, September, October, November to sign up, and there was no issue. Now you have to be ready on that day, if not trying to get an advance through either a DVC channel or an annual pass holders special. So I think that what has happened is that, and I saw this in the 80s, I should say, there's been an explosion in running. And what has happened is that it's a little bit different than what happened in the 80s. In the 80s, people were running. Nowadays, people are run, walk, running. And I think that it has brought more people into the sport, which is great. And I think that it has, because of that, made it more difficult to sign up for these races. And more people are coming in every year. There's new blood, and it doesn't matter what the prices are. You're always going to get those people who are coming in. And here's the point I'm trying to make. If you are new coming into races, you may not have the memories of those $25 5Ks or the $75 half marathons. You don't have a reference point. So whatever the registration fee is, you're going to go with that. I think that's a big deal.
The other thing, yes, too, Mike, is – sorry, Kim. Well,
that's okay. Go.
Oh, I was going to say that, when I do my local races, local half marathons, I am definitely in the second part of the pack. When I go to Disney races, I'm very much in the middle. And I think that for people coming into the sport, Disney's a safe place to do it, because there are a lot of people who are not running for time. They're running for fun, which is perfectly okay. But I think that that's one of the reasons why these races are selling out faster. I don't know. Kim?
And well, I was going to also say that when you are preparing yourself for these Disney races, you are going to your local races. So it's not like these prices aren't seen as expensive by the brand new runner. I mean, if I'm looking at my local Hartford Marathon Foundation, 5Ks are $35. And for the kids, they're $10 to run a 5K.
Do you think you are going to the local races, though? I think a lot of people are doing Disney as their first race. What do you think?
I think that they're going to local races. At least they are definitely coming to training groups.
So, Eddie, how long do you think this can last? I mean, there has to be a point at which it levels off.
You mean the price increasing?
Yeah, the price increase and the races filling up so fast. Because, I mean, let's look at Dopey for next year. Dopey sold out last year. It was $500, $495. This year it's going to be $525. It hasn't been put on sale yet. But, how far can it go? How much will people pay?
Well, I say this, Disney, when you start seeing registrations stay open longer than a week or a day, then you'll see that it's starting to level off. The key point is every time Disney has a registration, see how quick it sells out. And then as it starts slowing down, you're going to get an indication when it's starting to level off. But I say right now they could still – based on the way things are selling out, they can still jack the prices up a good bit, and it's still going to sell out. So,
I'm sorry, Eddie.
No, go ahead.
I have a theory that the Run Disney folks are targeting different runners for different races. I think that when we see inaugural race events like we've seen the Dumbo Dare, Double Dare, we see the the Dopey, we see the Glass Slipper Challenge, and we see the Avengers. I think that they're targeting the veteran runners, those who have done the Wine and Dine, the Tower of Terror, the Princess, the Disneyland half, the Walt Disney World half marathon. I think that they're wondering if, you know, they need to do something so that they will have those runners come back to a Run Disney event. And so I think that that has fueled the explosion of new races. Whereas if you're a novice runner and new to Run Disney, then all these races are new and they don't have to target them. But that's just my own opinion.
I think that's a pretty good opinion, because I remember after 2013 marathon weekend, I said, what are they going to do? I said, there's nothing new on the, at that time when we finished 2013, there was nothing new or exciting on the radar other than the Disney Dumbo Dare. That was it. So
and I have to agree with you, Eddie. I said the same exact thing. I said, you know what? I'm skipping out 2014. You know, there's nothing new for me to do it. I've been to Marathon Weekend 5 years, no big deal. And then they put that shiny carrot in front of my face, and I had to do the Dopey.
Yep, yes. You had to do the Dopey, and then they throw out the Glass Slipper.
And I had to do the Glass Slipper.
So now they throw out Avengers. So, yeah, I mean, yeah, I think, Mike, you have a very...
I knew this is probably the wrong group.
Yeah, it's the wrong group.
We're enablers.
But no, that's Mike has a very valid point that they have to keep continually changing it up. Now, the point is, there's going to be a point that they can stop, that they'll stop changing it up. Or they're going to have to, you know... Right now, they still have some avenues. When those avenues exhaust, then maybe you'll see some leveling out, because they can only add so many more races. I mean,
well, it'll be interesting to see how fast Dopey goes this year, because, you know, everyone, the rumbling is, oh, Dopey, that's one and done. Not going to do that. But I need to do Goofy because it's an anniversary year.
Yes.
Correct.
Yeah, good point.
But here's the other point that Disney has gotten very wise about. They don't repeat medals anymore.
What do you mean they don't repeat medals?
They're not repeating the medals. Very few medals are being repeated. Look at it. Wine and Dine medal change this past year.
Right.
The Glass Slipper. I mean, the only medal that was the same from last year that I can recall was Disneyland medal and Tower of Terror.
The Princess is similar.
Similar. But different.
Yeah, but a little different. You're right. I'm looking at both of them right now.
The year before was the 5th year anniversary.
Right. So, you know, when people are maybe planning a race, either individually or going with a family, and they're having to pay $200, $350, $500, what part of their vacation do you think might be impacted? Are they just paying more money, or is it going to impact some other thing that they're doing? What do you think, Mike?
I think that it's going to come down to the individual. It's going to come down to what's important to them. And I think it's very difficult to come up with a blanket opinion on this. I think that let's look at those who go down to Orlando for a Disney vacation once a year. And in that family, there is a runner or two who wants to participate in that race. Well, I think that what happens is that a decision is made involving, okay, how can both objectives be met? That is, how can you run the race and still have a vacation? I think that the decision is maybe I don't run Disney anymore, and I just take my family down to Walt Disney World when I think it's a good time to take them down. So I think that is one faction that is going to make a decision in a certain way. Then there's the other one is that what about those – and Eddie made a point to mention the Avengers, how, you know, it gets to the point where, well, maybe you don't take the family. And a lot of families will no longer be coming to Walt Disney World or Disneyland. It'll just be the runners. It'll be the dads or the moms or whatever. So I think that's going to happen. I think that there are so many ways you can go with this. The one theory that I have is that people are going to make their stay much shorter. They're going to stay they may move from deluxe to moderate, or moderate to value, or value to off-season. And I think that they will no longer be eating in sit-down restaurants. They'll be eating at quick service or off the property. I think that, you know, the Run Disney arm of the Walt Disney Company may continue to enjoy registrations filling up, but bottom line, the Walt Disney Company may not realize an increase, and they may actually see a revenue loss. That's just my opinion.
And I think you're spot on. I mean, after doing the Dopey Challenge this year, I brought the whole family, and I actually brought another family with us. And we stayed in a DVC. We stayed in the Treehouse Villas. But my total cost that I paid for registrations, just for registrations, not for airfare, not for DVC, not for food, I paid $817 in registration fees just for Marathon Weekend.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's
insane.
That's a lot. See, that's and you know, Kim, what you're bringing to the table here is the notion, and that everybody realizes is that these are destination races, and a destination race means that you travel and you have to deal with travel costs as well as the registration fee. Number one, how to get there. Number two, where you're staying, and other things, possibly a car rental. Then, of course, you have to eat. So it's not just a registration fee. And when you're talking about a Disney race, you know, we're talking about top dollar for the destination costs.
Right. And we did not. And here's the thing that Run Disney has to hear. We didn't go to Disney. We didn't go to Disney that trip. We went to their counterpart. We went to Universal, and we did not eat at Walt Disney World for the entire trip, except for California Grill to celebrate. We ate in our DVC vacation home. So that's how we made it affordable for us.
Eddie, do you feel like I know you're not bringing the kids and Anna to California. Do you feel like you do so many of these races? Are you going to be doing more of them independently just because of the cost?
I still imagine that I'll bring the family a good bit to these races. My goal is to always take them twice a year to Disneyland. So the Avengers offers the third weekend. So California is different. Disney World's easy because I don't have to fly. I can literally drive down on a Friday after work and go back Sunday. And even with the kids, we do it multiple times a year. So that's they'll be coming. So we're not, you know, for me, it impacts the cost of the Disney races don't impact me nearly as much as it would somebody else who lives further away, who flying is their only option. If flying was the only option, then yes, I'd say my family would come less. But the fact is, the majority of these races are on the East Coast versus the West Coast, and I have the ability to drive.
So here's my final question for both of you. Is it worth it? Kim, what do you think?
Well, I think it's worth it. Well, there's two ways to look at it. Is it worth it to bring the whole family? Yes, but it can't be multiple times for us because, you know, it's just cost prohibitive, you know, to go to California or go to Walt Disney World and do, you know, an extra $800 worth of races, not going to happen. For me as a runner, is it cost prohibitive? Yes, but then I'm still going to do it. I'm just going to have to take away from another travel race, a destination race. So it's worth it because I'm a Disney freak and I enjoy these races so much. Are they getting to the top of my price threshold? Oh, yes, they're right there. And it's making me think twice of, you know, what do I want to do in 2015?
Mm-hmm. Eddie?
When you ask the question, is it worth it? You know, you brought up the local races to comparison, and just to throw something out there. Yesterday, I ran a local half marathon. It was very nice. I think it was $80. So you know, it's about half the less than just half the price, just under half the price of a Disney race. But you know, it's just there is no, I mean, running in Disney is something that is so different and so unique to any other race that I do. So, and I run races across the country. So the entertainment that Disney puts on the course, the affinity, the affection you have for the parks, you can't, right now, you can't put a price to me on that ability to run through these parks, to be with friends, which is what I usually spend Disney races. Ran with Kimberly the last race, ran with you, Michelle, on Marathon Weekend. It's just, you know, the memories you make, to me, are worth so much more that it doesn't bother me with the cost. I don't like paying it, but it's not the local race. The local race is, it doesn't have the entertainment. It doesn't have the value it may have the value. It doesn't have the experience that these races hold, at least to me.
Okay, so, well, I have to say something else, though. Because, yes, absolutely. I mean, we got our money's worth at that Princess Half Marathon. We were out there for over 4 hours, and we had the best darn time ever. However, when they start taking away entertainment or giving us subpar races like the Walt Disney World 10K and the Half Marathon, you know, I mean, they have to keep up their end of the bargain as well, Run Disney.
They do. And I agree with that. And therefore, like when it comes time for Dopey, I'm not signing up for Dopey next year. I'm just doing the Goofy. So
just.
I'm just the Goofy, I know.
Me too. Mike, what do you think?
Well, a lot of things been running through my mind. I think that I want to ask everybody here, has anybody here let's use a half marathon as an example. Have any of you guys experienced your half marathon PR at a Disney event or at a non-Disney race?
Non-Disney.
Eddie?
Well, the first time I met you, before you knew who I was, I PR'd at the Disney,
okay.
The Disney World.
And that's been it?
Half. Let's see.
But I mean now your present PR.
Well, I'm different. I could PR at a Disney race if I wanted to. I don't want to because I'm fast enough that I get up to the front and I have open air. So I don't have, the crowding's not an issue for me. So that's
I think you made my point. Michelle, what about you? I think you and I had it in the same race.
Yep, the Wicked Half in Salem, Mass is
the
my
Wicked
PR.
Half. Mm-hmm. I might have done it at a Princess, but I'm not sure. But my point is that with a Disney event, and many times I think people will do their initial long distance race at a Run Disney event because we're talking about crossing the finish line. We're not talking about crossing the finish line in a certain amount of time, although obviously there are pace requirements that some people are concerned about. But I think that there are a couple of things that everybody touched upon, and that is Kimberly was talking about the entertainment. It's a fun kind of time. Men can dress up like princesses. Women can dress up, you know, with the sparkly skirts or whatever. It's one of those deals where the fun has come more into play over the last several years with all the themed races. And the other thing that Eddie touched upon, and it's something that is something that I can relate to, is back in 2005, 2006, when I ran in a Disney race, I knew about depending upon the field. Let's use a half marathon. Let's use 2006 half marathon. I knew about maybe 50 people who ran in that race. Now, if I'm running in a half marathon, there's a lot more than 50. So, and I'm sure we're all running into that now. We have this huge running community, and we get to see a lot of our friends. If we happen to have a running team, we see team members. We see a lot of people in the course of a race. I mean, I saw Kimberly in line with a million people for Dopey during the 5K. So we have that as a component that I think Disney has recognized as something that actually draws us there. So I think that's part of it, and I think that's part of what draws us there. But beyond that, we need to make concessions, and concessions could be what Kimberly said. You know, her family did not deal with Disney. Eddie's talking about the Avengers not taking the family. There's a whole bunch of things that we all are making concessions to, and you know that's how it works. Michelle, you want to add anything to that?
No, I think you guys covered it. I think we've explored this topic, but I know people are going to want to continue this on Facebook.
I have one more question that I'm not sure if we talked about it, and I'm going to go around the table one more question. And Michelle, I'm going to start with you.
I'm ready.
Are you ready?
Yes.
I'm going to ask you to tell me what is the break point for you for a 5K. And has that threshold been?
I think for an inaugural race, I might go up to 75 or 80. I'm pretty much there. If it's a race I've already done before, I'm not going to do it if it's more than $50.
What about a half?
A half, it would be, I think I'm there for the Avengers. That, and it's only because it's an inaugural race again. I wouldn't go over 195.
What about, let me move to the Goofy. What about the Goofy? I don't have to ask you about a Dopey, but
yeah, you know, I actually don't know what I did my first Goofy as part of the Dopey. So is it 350?
350, I want to say.
No, it's I just looked up the prices. It's 360 this year.
Yeah, I think, I don't know. That's tricky.
That's not too bad.
Yeah,
that's
I think
not
that's
too bad.
Probably my limit.
That's actually a good deal.
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah, for Disney. I think that's probably my limit.
Okay, Kim, what about you? What about a 5K?
Yeah, I'd have to go $75. I think we're there, you know, and I'm only going to pay $75 at Disneyland. I'm not going to pay it at Walt Disney World.
Right.
I'll tell
it's
you
much
that.
Better 5K. You're right.
Right. You have a better experience. You're totally in the park. It's fabulous. You know, Avengers, that's it. $200 is it for a half marathon for me. Thank you very much. Mm-hmm.
And for me, it has to be inaugural, as I said. Do you agree, or would you do one that you've already done?
You know, because I will never say never. So I don't know. Mm-hmm. I really don't know. I mean, I could see myself doing it again if I had that much fun in Disneyland. Absolutely. Disney World is a whole different ballgame.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Eddie, what about a 5K for you?
I'm exactly where Kimberly is. Disneyland races only going forward anyways, and that we're right about the limit of what I'd spend anyways.
You know, and here's the other thing I'd like to say, you know, mm-hmm. Disney, Run Disney. I mean, we're not even getting a perk or anything like, you know, like a ticket or a discount on a park pass or anything to really push it over the edge and justify that cost anymore. And I'm really having a problem with it.
Yeah, the swag bags have gone downhill.
Swag bags? Because the swag I got in my bag was 4 safety pins and a Luna bar.
And a Luna bar wasn't that good.
Those were gold safety pins, though. You didn't throw them away, did you?
Oh, no. Well, I think that we've pretty much talked this thing through, and I think that I think that a lot of the opinions that we've expressed pretty much mirrors what our listeners are probably thinking. But we want to hear from the listeners, so we want to continue this discussion on our Facebook page. So we welcome and really look forward to hearing from all of you out there who are listening, and also if you prefer to send us an email, please do. I think that the only thing that I wanted to say before we sign off is that there's one more or two more races that we're looking for and we've heard rumors of Disneyland Paris, and we've heard rumors of Star Wars race. And I wanted to share with the three of you that I also heard that the D23 is thinking about possibly doing a race. So we've got a couple of inaugurals that are in the rumor mill right now. We'll just have to wait and see what happens. So for Eddie McCoy, for Kimberly Torres Markey, for Michelle Scribner-McLean, and for Mike Scopa, wherever he is.
Did we exhaust you, Mike?
Oh, my God. I'm so tired. I only ran like 8 miles this morning, but I'm tired. So for Kim, Eddie, Michelle, and for me, Mike, we'll see you on the road. This episode of the Mickey Mouse Podcast has been brought to you by All-Star Vacation Homes. If you are looking for the highest quality vacation home or condo for your next Walt Disney World vacation, then you need to visit www.allstarvacationhomes.com, where hospitality has a new home. And by MEI and Mouse Fan Travel, nobody can give you better service and get more for your vacation dollar than the vacation planners at MEI and Mouse Fan Travel. So for your next Disney or non-Disney vacation, your first stop should be to go to MEI-travel.com, mousefantravel.com, or click on their banner at MickeyMilesPodcast.com.
Thanks for joining us on today's episode of the Mickey Miles Podcast. We hope you enjoyed listening. Our discussion continues on Facebook at Facebook.com/MickeyMilesPodcast, where you can give us your comments and feedback on the show. You can also follow us on Twitter at Twitter.com/MickeyMilesPod. And if you have any questions for us, you can send them to questions@MickeyMilesPodcast.com. We'll try to answer them as soon as possible. For all of us here at the Mickey Miles Podcast, this is Rick Gray saying until next time, thanks for listening, and we'll see you on the road.